What's better? Is it important that there's better? You know, there's a lot of quotes, a lot of proverbial quotes about things that are better. Like, it is better to keep your mouth closed and let people think you are a fool than to open it and remove all doubts. Mark Twain maybe said that. It's also ascribed to Abraham Lincoln. Might be one of those that has been said for thousands of years and someone else translated it. Who knows? It's better to lead from behind and to put others in front. Nelson Mandela said that. It's better to know nothing than to know what ain't so. Josh Billings, comedian, said that one. It's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. It's a Chinese proverb. It is better to give than to receive. Ever heard that? It's a Bible thing, Acts 20. Don't gain the world and lose your soul. Wisdom is better than silver or gold. Bob Marley. It is better to be hated for what you are than to be loved for what you are not. Andre Gide. Of course, we've heard this one before. It is better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all. Alfred Lord Tennyson. To do better is better than to be perfect. Toba Beta, who is an Indonesian writer. It is better to know how to learn than to know. Dr. Seuss. It is better to know some of the questions than all of the answers. James Thurber. It is better to try and fail than fail to try. It's William O'Brien. He was around the turn of the century, between the 19th and 20th century, journalist, poet, politician from Ireland. And some others. I don't know where these come from, but you've probably heard them before. I don't think I made these up. I'm sure I didn't make them up. It is better to do right than to believe right. No controversy in the church on that one, right? Theologians have been debating that doctrine forever. It's better to ask questions than to know answers. And that's similar to James Thurber. It is better to wonder than to know. Love that. And here's one for now. It comes from Christiane Amanpour, the Peabody Award-winning journalist. Good journalism can make the world a better place. In today's Bible reading, Psalm 84, there's a better quote. And it's a better quote that, as in better quote, not a better quote. It forms the basis for a song. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. It's a beautiful statement from a psalm that it oozes praise to God. It's better to be home with you, God. Think for a moment. If you were going to start making a list, what better items would you put on it? Like, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Oozing praise to God. Listen to these statements. These are from Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Oh, better is one day in your house, in your courts, than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. It's a beautiful psalm. But, well, maybe give it a, yeah, beautiful psalm. And then pull back just a little bit and think. I'm going to offer a screeching dissent to Psalm 84. Because here's what I think about it. Not all the time, but here's what I think about it often. I think it's filled with either wishful thinking or inauthentic praise. I don't even know if either one of those are bad things. Wishful thinking, I don't feel any of this, but I'm going to sing praises to God anyway. I'm having a bad day, but I'm going to fake it till I make it. Sometimes we do that. It's not always helpful. Sometimes it is. What about that inauthentic praise part? Ever come to church and you didn't feel it, and by the time you left, you didn't feel it either? You tried to say all the right words. You said the Lord's Prayer. You sang the songs. You may even raise your hands. And you walked out and said, I tried, and it was great, and still not feeling it. Sometimes we may say words like in Psalm 84 and sing songs that sound just like it, but compared to the way we live or the way we feel, maybe let's go with the way we live outside of these walls, maybe these words are completely empty because we don't mean them. We just say them because it's church. You're supposed to say them. I have often said about my disdain for what I would call and others have called Jesus is my boyfriend songs. Ever heard those? They're the ones that are just, they ooze praise, but when you're listening to them, you're like, really, come on. Can that be true? And maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just in a cynical place sometimes, but I do like authentic praise songs, one that asks questions, one that leave room for sadness and sorrow, ones that acknowledge that God is present in all times in our life. So what if Psalm 84, which is a beautiful psalm that maybe it's wishful thinking, maybe it's inauthentic praise, what if I took almost an opposite approach to it? I tried to make it real. Maybe it would go a little bit like this. This would be like for today, for this year, for the last 5 years, I don't know. Our church building needs repairs and upgrades, God. I'm crying for there to be some kind of equality between the ones who have too much and the ones who don't have enough. There are lots of people who are homeless in the world. God, what is up with that? The people who are lucky enough to be sheltered by you really like you, but what about the ones who have no shelter? Do you hate them? Those people who have what they need, are they really doing something right? Or is it that they're keeping too much stuff? Why do things just get better and better for the ones who have? Are you listening, God? I hope so. You better be. Please hear the cries of all the people, God. It'd be better to have a place to live than to be homeless. I'd rather have a job, any job right now. God, you're the one who shines and blesses. So why do you hold back from the people who really need it? Why do you let powerful people claim that you only love one country while saying that the rest are dung heaps? It's hard to trust you, God. There are plenty of psalms that have that flavor. Rough and raw. It's why you can't look at the psalms and say, this is God's promise for you. Because sometimes the psalms are rough. They're rugged. They're ragged. They're angry. And there isn't resolution of, oh, but God will fix everything. But they're real. Maybe these emotions that I'm expressing here aren't yours, but what if you wrote your own? Wrote it down, what you're really feeling. That's That's a psalm. It may not be who God is, but it's what you're feeling right there. So as a congregation, as individuals, what are we supposed to do with inauthentic praise, authentic praise, real, Jesus is my boyfriend, all kinds of stuff that's around us all the time? Are we going to wait for God to swoop in and fix everything? Are we going to yell and scream and complain that it doesn't happen? Is it somewhere in between? Is it none of those? Or maybe we can take the words of Psalm 84 and the contrary psalm and let either, both, inspire us to walk forward in our faith journey. We can do things that make a difference in people's lives. Absolutely. We can be advocates for the end of homelessness. I know we're not going to fix it all at once, or maybe not at all, but we can be advocates to make it a little better. We can be advocates for the end of hunger. One way is coming up on October with the crop walk. We can be active in organizations that help the marginalized or the exploited. We can have our church be involved with that. We can come to the benevolence meeting on September 6th and talk about things that are important to us. Or individually, we can get involved that way. We can share the story of our faith with others. A real, authentic faith, one that has pitfalls, one that is got highs and lows, one that has doubts, one that's probably not too filled with certainty at all. We can live out our covenant to be an open and affirming faith community. We can live out our faith in the community. Of course, we can be a caring community of Christ. We can be a people of prayer and action. We can be a beacon of hope, justice, and peace. And we can also remember that when we experience disagreement over issues and significant issues, health care, sexuality, abortion, immigration, war, elections, you name it, what we can do is we can refuse to engage in name-calling lies or tactics meant to demonize a person with a different opinion. It doesn't mean we don't stand up for justice. It doesn't mean that sometimes we are causing a ruckus or that we are making people feel uncomfortable. But we don't name-call. We don't demonize other people. We just don't do that. We can acknowledge that people of deep faith have and still do disagree on a whole lot of things. So instead, we can take time to listen. We can take time to learn. And we can lift up things like safety, attention, care, and love above "it has to be my way" thinking. And of course, above all, we follow the two rules. I've said them so many times. Love God, love everyone. We follow those two rules in every thought, action, and response. And we remember that it is better to be a community of love, one where everyone can experience safety, attention, care, home. Amen.